Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So through this time of fasting and prayer, you're going to look a little blurry to me, but I just feel like taking them off. We've also been encouraged to read the book of Acts, and when you finish it, to start again. I don't know how many times you have been through the book of Acts already. If you've been through it a few times already, at least, continue to read it. Maybe read it a little slower. Maybe take time to pause more than you have. Or maybe you've paused, had long pauses. I don't know. This is between you and the Lord. But to just take in His Word, the history, the early church, the apostles, the people, how they lived, what God was doing, and how He would talk to them and visit them, and their surrender, their obedience, how the Spirit led them, how they treated one another, and the list goes on. This morning, I want to read from the book of Acts, chapter 2. You see that, Grandpa? When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, languages, as the Holy Spirit enabled them. After Jesus' death and then rose again, the resurrection, He appeared to His disciples and talking to them about many things over the period of about 40 days. Not about 40 days, 40 days. And then Acts chapter 1, we see where Jesus ascends. He's giving His final words to His disciples, and He gives them final words, and then He is taken up. He ascends to the Father. Now, we know from John chapter 16 that Jesus was telling of a time where He is going to leave His disciples, but yet they would not be alone, and that He must go, so the Holy Spirit, say Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit could come. There's an order. God has a plan. Say it, God has a plan. Turn to a couple of people and say, God has a plan for you. Yeah, that's it. Some of you picked up on it because you pointed at each other. Right? Oh, pointing is rude. No, I want you to get it. There's a plan for you. Some of it is a general biblical plan for all. And then He has a specific plan just for you. You know, Jesus tells them to just remain there until the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They didn't know what that looked like. They didn't get a lot of, at least we know, didn't get a lot of instruction about just remain here until. And then the question of how do we know when the Holy Spirit has come upon us? I mean, they don't know what that looks like. They don't know when. So, every day, They're getting together. They're meeting. They're praying. Reciting and talking about the words of Jesus. Looking into history and what they knew of the Old Testament and looking at the teaching of Jesus, and they just kept coming. And they were faithful. And yet it seemed to be a little bit ambiguous to them on when and how and what this looks like. And what does it mean for us? But they just kept being faithful, and they kept praying, and they kept meeting together, and they kept seeking the Lord, and they kept bringing praise to Him. They kept reciting Old Testament and the prophecies and telling the stories, the testimonies. When I say story, I don't mean fable things. I mean the accounts and the history of things that Jesus said and what He did. And to the others who were gathering with them, because it wasn't just His 11 disciples, it was other followers. And they would tell the accounts, and the disciples would tell accounts, not just what the other people heard, but things that Jesus said to them privately to provide instruction and encouragement. Well, they kept doing this. And so Jesus ascended on the 40th day after His resurrection. Now, it's 10 more days until Pentecost. Now, they didn't know that on the day of Pentecost that this was what was going to happen. You see, they were already going to celebrate Pentecost. It was a feast, a festival that happens, and I'll talk to you briefly about it. But, you know, going on that 10th day after Jesus ascended, and they're just doing what they did the previous 9 days, the last thing that Jesus told them was to do this, and this is what they were doing. I would imagine that going on the 10th day was like going on the other days. They didn't know that this was the day. They just kept being faithful in this new routine, in the mundane. And when I say mundane, it's not that it wasn't exciting. It's just this is the new routine. And you know how routines are. When it's something new, it's kind of fresh. It can be exciting sometimes on a new routine. It's just sheer discipline. It's just sheer obedience. Maybe a little joy comes from now and then. Maybe you find it real exciting. It depends on what it is. But here they are going just another day. To them, it was just another day. They weren't getting together on the eve of this going, tomorrow's the day. They just knew that it could be. It's like you and I waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. We don't know the day or the hour. Not that this is just another Sunday, but it's another Sunday. And they show up. And what I read to you from Acts chapter 2, the first four verses, this is what happened. Suddenly, and all of a sudden, they were experiencing the Holy Spirit coming upon them. They saw in the physical what seemed to be, in the way they describe it, the way they described it, and the way Luke writes it, as it appeared to be like flames of fire. Okay, when it says tongues of fire, you know, you ever see a flame and it kind of looks like a little tongue or something? These little flames, these little tongues of fire came and rested on each one. And then they began what? What did they begin to do? Speak in tongues. Say it, speak in tongues. They began to speak in tongues, and they were all filled. Say all. All. Not just the 11, but all who were getting together, showing up day after day. And now the Holy Spirit comes upon them, day 10 of their obedience. They didn't know how many days it was going to be. God knows. But it's interesting that it would come on the 10th day. Because in the Jewish calendar and in their festival and in their feast and in their acknowledging God in their history, as they look to the Old Testament, you will see what we know as Passover, right? And then they crucify Jesus before the Passover. And then he resurrects. He's with them 40 days, and 10 days from there, what we know as the Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the day where it commemorates two very specific things. It's 49 days after the first day of Passover. 50 days. Pentecost means 50. Penta. And it commemorates two very specific things in the Jewish understanding, and they were Jewish. And so they are coming out of Passover, they are going into the seven-week feast, and now the 49 days are over, the seven-week feast, and day 50 comes, where they get to come together and celebrate something, and this is what they did as a people, as a nation. And it commemorates two things in their minds. It is, one, it commemorates the giving of God's commandments, the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It commemorates the Ten Commandments, the law, the Torah, the Pentateuch. It's the 613 divine laws that they received. It commemorates that, and they celebrate it. God's law and order commands coming to them. And the second thing that it commemorates on this 50th day after the start of Passover is, you will find this in the book of Exodus, and it talks about celebrating first fruits or the first harvest, and specifically the wheat harvest, the harvest of wheat. So it commemorates these two things on this 50th day. Well, they get together on this 50th day, and they're doing like they've done the last 9 days, and then the Holy Spirit is outpoured. And we see the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, the prophet, of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon all, available to all, men and women, young and old. And it didn't matter where you came from or what nationality you were. All flesh. All people. Say, Pentecost is for all. Turn to a couple people around you. I know it's very interactive, and I don't want you to get tired of it, but you tell a couple people around you, Pentecost is for you. It was in their calendar. It was in God's calendar, and it's in His calendar for you. I mean, you mark down birthdays. You know when Christmas is. You know when Easter is. I mean, we can look at our calendar this year. April 1st, Wednesday at sunset, Passover starts. It ends April 9th at nightfall. Sunday, April 5th, Resurrection Day. We're going to be in this place and celebrating, God tarry, we are going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, we celebrate it every day in our life, but we get to come together and just highlight and focus on the resurrection of Jesus. We call it Easter. And then 7 weeks are going to go by, plus one day. The 7 weeks are over in their calendar, and they celebrate on the 50th day, and we know it as Pentecost. And it commemorates two things, as I mentioned, the giving of the law and the bringing in of the first harvest or first fruits of wheat. These are significant things, and they should be significant things in our minds. Significant things in the way that Scripture continues to be fulfilled, and the Old Testament confirming the New, and the New Testament confirming the Old, and the full counsel of the Word of God to you and I. You just wait. So it commemorates the giving of the law. I want to let you know that when God gave the law and the Ten Commandments, I want you to know that this is the first time that there was a moral and ethical law, commands, ever put in order and given. It's a beautiful thing. But here's the thing about the law. It now lets you and I know where the standard is. And you and I fall short. The law was given so that people could obey it and remain in right relationship with God, no sin fracturing it. But all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, God's standard. And it doesn't matter, I just missed it or I'm not even close. All have sinned and fallen short. So what the law, as powerful as it was, it revealed not just what was right, but anything that is not right, and it revealed sin. It's been written this way to you and I, that the standard has been revealed, and the law became powerless to save us because of our flesh. We couldn't obey it all. Or we couldn't obey it all for very long. Right? How many of you have pretty good days of obedience? Anybody? You can be honest, say, yeah, I wasn't perfect, but boy, it was a really good day of obedience. I stayed in bed all day. And I didn't talk to anybody, and I didn't go on social network, and I didn't... Listen, you could still cut yourself off, but what's in here still gets revealed. Your thoughts, my attitudes, whatever. About yesterday or today or about somebody or about tomorrow or whatever it is. And we fall short. Which means that God, through his love, has a plan to solve it so that you and I do not fall short, but we make it. That comes through grace and mercy because we don't deserve it. Right? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Payment for sin, I didn't make it, and I deserve not to make it. But God, through his love and grace and mercy, sent his Son, who was the fulfillment of the law and perfection, and made himself to bear the sin of all through one man. Came sin, and through another one man, Jesus Christ, came salvation. He was worthy, he was without sin, but took all the sin upon us. And now what that did is when he went like this and gave his life and shed his blood and rose from the dead, that took all those who believe in him who fell short and puts us up on top, that you are saved from the wages of sin. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm just telling you in a real nutshell version right there, some scriptures that says, listen, you've sinned, you fall short. You're like me. I need a Savior. I put faith in Him. His blood atones for my sin, pays for my sin. And now, in God's eyes, through faith in Christ, I can go to Him. And I want you to hear this. In a day where people cry for unity and get together and all of that, and unity is, man, that's a Christian word. And I'm on the page of unity, but not to be unified with those who don't believe this. There is no other name by which a person can be saved except through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is it. I know that you applaud because it's the scripture and it's true and it's what he said. Don't mistake in me like thinking, ooh, I just said something really good. I did say something really good, but I can't take credit for it. I'm just reciting what he told us. His word. No one goes to the Father in heaven except through him. Jesus said it. It's not about how good you are or how much you sacrificed or how bad you were. We all need his blood to forgive us. And all of us need to put our personal faith expression in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you and I just try to get there by obeying the law, you and I will fall short. And what does that mean? It means we're not in. We're not holy. We're not forgiven. It is through him. He imputeth to you and I. How about that for a King James word? I will put it in layman's terms that really aren't sufficient, but he made this trade. He was a ransom for many. He came, paid. Sin, death, you take me hostage, and you let all these people go who believe in me. Those who don't believe in him say, ah, he's not a ransom. I'm just going to stay where I'm at. I'll try to come up with my own idea that sounds good, that I can deceive myself and maybe others. But those who believed he was the ransom get to go. But sin that he paid for and death that he experienced, it could not hold him. He conquered death and hell and sin and took the keys and rose again and ascended to the Father. And those who believe in him, he has prepared a place for you. And he will come again to receive you unto himself so that where he is, you may also be. This life is not all there is. So don't let the trials of this life rob you of your present day hope and faith and established future. The toils of this life will one day end. But until then, trust him, follow him, obey him, pray. Fast, read his word, fellowship with him, and fellowship with other believers, and reach the lost who don't know him yet, who need to go from falling short that through faith in Jesus Christ, they will no longer fall short because Jesus fulfilled it all. And he has made a way for you and I. So, the giving of the law and the moral ethics, this is what needed to happen. I'll read this to you from Romans chapter 8. I want you to listen to this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? No more condemnation. Amen. Yeah, but you don't know what I... Stop embracing the old and the former. Stop embracing that which God has delivered you from. We all have a haunting past. We all have regrets. We all remember where we fell short. From small things, little things, to grotesque things. Yeah, but some of that wasn't an accident. I did it on purpose. No kidding. For the law of the Spirit of life, the law, legal, God made legal, the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. You and I should commemorate the law because it revealed sin in me. And you. For God has done what the law was weak to do because of the flesh. We couldn't keep up. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, Jesus came as the incarnate Christ. He put human skin on. He was born from the womb of a woman, from the seed of God, but born like you and I, in the flesh, the physical. This is what God has done, sending his son in the likeness of humanity, and he sent him because of sin. I would say that God loves you. He knows your history, but he loves you. And I don't care who you are, he has made a way for you. Find it. So the law was weak to save us. So God sent his son, who was the fulfillment of the law. He didn't fall short. He sent it for sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh. He did not condemn flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. He didn't condemn his creation. He condemned the sin that began to take root, that you and I were born into sin. He condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. We get to make it through Jesus Christ. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. So they commemorate the law on the 50th day, Pentecost. They commemorate the law. We received the law from God. For you and I, it was kind of like the day that the gospel was preached to you and me. That was the day. I think back to the day where this was preached to me, that I responded by the help of the Holy Spirit, that I commemorate that day. I was a kid, so I don't remember the date, but I remember the day. I remember the experience. I remember what happened, and I look at what has been built off of that experience and foundation in my life. And it hasn't been without struggle, and it hasn't been without sin. But I knew where to run. I knew that his blood makes a difference. It was shed for me. And I still draw on that blood. Because this man still needs it. I'm still a work in process. But if I should tarry my life in the flesh, body, not sin flesh, until his coming, he will complete it. He will complete it. So they commemorate this law, which to you and I, it's like, the law, I can't quite obey it. So the good news is he provided an answer what the law couldn't do. He provided in his son for you. The second thing that's commemorated, I mentioned, is the wheat harvest. That's what they would do. After these 49 days, the 50th day, they would celebrate the bringing in of first fruits and the harvest of wheat. It was a great celebration, a great festival. So I want you to look in the book of Acts, and it says on that day of Pentecost, Peter got up and preached because they wanted to know what it means that these people are speaking in tongues. And some of the tongues that were given to these people who were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak a language of some of the people who were visiting in Jerusalem on that day. And they said, what does this mean? These people are Galileans. How is it I hear them proclaiming the marvelous works of God in my own language? How can this be? And there were many of them. Of course, those who were local, some of them mocked, made fun, right? And Peter gets up, and he responds to the crowd, and he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. He quotes the prophet of old, and he tells of Jesus. And the crowd, they're just cut to the quick hearing the preaching of Jesus, and they just like, now what am I supposed to do with this? And he tells them to repent and be baptized. And on that one day, the harvest came. They say the harvest is in so many days, but Jesus says, I tell you to look. The wheat fields, the heads are white. They're ready for harvest. Now. Remember when Jesus told them that? Look. Right? Few workers, few laborers. I'm telling you, go. The harvest is ready. And they're celebrating the law of God, but those who are in Christ, they're celebrating the grace and mercy of salvation through Jesus Christ and his blood and resurrection. Jews were coming to celebrate harvest. How appropriate that on the day of harvest, God harvests 3,000 people. The first altar call of the preaching of a sermon by Peter. He casts the net, and 3,000 are brought in who begin to believe in this Jesus. The day of harvest, the day of Pentecost. So for you and I, because you are Pentecostal, we think it's just about the baptism, and it's about receiving the Spirit, and it's about the proof that the Spirit has been received in our life, this coming of the Holy Spirit upon us, because the first initial physical evidence as we look through the book of Acts, as you read it, is they always begin to speak in tongues. So we commemorate that, and it's important. But we have to remember that this is about salvation through Jesus Christ. We commemorate the coming of the law, the standard, and that we fell short, but he made it possible for us to make it. And so that the law doesn't become this checklist for you and I. Like, I did this, I did this, this one I wasn't so good at, but we'll just take it off the list. And it's not that important, right? I mean, you know. And we turn it into something that's formal. The letter of the law kills. The standard has been stated, I can't meet it. The letter of the law kills. I'm dead. I'm dead. I have no hope. Except by the Spirit of life. So it says, the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 3. No condemnation, fear in Christ. And we're called to live different. That's the repentance part. So we commemorate, I commemorate the law of God. I'm thankful for the law of God because it revealed sin in me. And now it means I need a Savior. Well, the beauty is the Savior has come. And he fulfilled the law. And he gives to me his righteousness. And he takes my sin. That's what he did on the cross. I'm taking your sin. I'm dying like a criminal. I'm dying like I was guilty as you were. But I'll give you my righteousness so that you can be in right relationship with God. That your sin will not stop you from being in right relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ in which we put faith in that kind of grace. And so I commemorate the law because it revealed sin in me. And the second thing I commemorate is that through the power of the outpouring of the Spirit, it will produce fruit. And the fruit that it will produce is others being saved. And that it gives us a power. His Spirit gives a power that we cannot have on our own. You can do the works of ministry now. When you receive the Spirit. Oh, we still labor and we do the works of ministry, but if you want the anointing breath of God to be more productive, you and I need his anointing. We need the Spirit of God, his power to live in us, to overcome ourselves, to overcome barriers, to stand in faith and be empowered by him, that God would do extraordinary things through normal, mortal people. Amen. And that it is not based upon your piety or some power that you have. It is based upon the power of God and his righteousness, but it being manifested in and through our life. See, that's the power of Pentecost, is that it can produce a harvest. I want you to stand to your feet, please. For us to come to the place to fulfill the law, the standard, to become like Christ, we need the Holy Spirit to activate in us the understanding of his word and the manifestation of his word in our life. We need the Holy Spirit who authored these pages to reveal the mind of God, that it would prevent us from being dead and formal. If we just go with checklists in our life, it produces nothing. It's a lot of nice works, but it's not enough to get us across the finish line. If you're thinking salvation is just by, I got to be better, I got to do better, I just got to, you know, I got to be righteous, you will never make it. You'll do all these things and it will be dead and formal unless you allow a relationship with the Holy Spirit to activate himself within your life. That we would change and we would become more like Christ. Washed in his blood. We're not just checking boxes. This comes out of a relationship with Jesus. It's not about a relationship with the law. The law is important. But he sums it up in two things. Love God and love people. That's it. That's right. He comes into their life with power. So that we're not left to just our own power and our own schemes. This manifestation of this physical evidence of tongues in the life of the believer, it's the reversal, hear this, it's the reversal of the Tower of Babel. Those of you who know Genesis, you know about the Tower of Babel. They said, let's build us building into the heavens, and we will build a great name for ourselves. Catch that?
Yeah.
And I'll paraphrase, but God says, yeah, I got a problem with that. And so he gave languages to them that they could no longer communicate with everybody. Have you ever been on a project where you don't all agree and don't all understand? Or you don't grasp a concept? Nothing gets done. God says, I'm going to give them different languages. And so the people who spoke a language that was new and understood it had to find other people who then, and then they had this other group, and they couldn't communicate anymore. He used language to scatter people. We'll follow this. On the day of Pentecost, he gave language to bring people together in faith to make his name known. Not that we make our name known, but that we have been empowered by his Spirit and been given a language that he would be made known. The language is a byproduct of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, it's a baptism of power to do what? To do ministry. To make his name known. The sign that it's happened is we speak in tongues. But it's not about just speaking in tongues. It's about this baptism of power that they receive, that we receive. That we now have a power to do ministry to make his name known. Not our own power to make our name known by doing something great and taking credit for it. It is about making his name known. There is no other name by which people can be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. It is what Peter preached. It is what they continued to preach. And as they preached the word, the Holy Spirit worked with them and did marvelous signs and wonders and miracles, healings and deliverance. All the things that we need. But it was about the power to preach the word. You and I have been called. Here's the point. Here's the point. Finally, Pastor, get to the point. There are other points along the way, but here's the point. You and I have all been called to make his name known. He has called you. It's the responsibility that we have. It's the joy that we have. It's the name by which we've been saved. So when you leave this place, understand you are now walking in the call to make his name known, not yours. His name. Listen, if you love golf, you gotta know that it's not about the golf. It's about being with other people. To make his name known. To sharpen one another. You have a gift of making bread. It's not about the bread. It's about making the bread of heaven known to your neighbor, who you give the bread to as a gift. You got a hobby? What is it? You like to lift? Yeah? You mean weights?
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal, dude. It's not just about your body. And it's not just about lifting. And it's not about your personal best or record. It's about the other people who lift or are athletes around you. That's what it's about. Not making your body known, but making him known. You got a hobby? Got an interest? You hold a position at work? Oh no, I do the lowliest job. He gave you a position. What's it about? Is it just about the cleaning? No. It's about making the Lord's name known by taking care of this building. He gave you a position. He gave you a gift, a talent, a skill. Well, he wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit, that gift, that interest, that hobby, whatever it is, can make his name known. Make his name known. Not your name. His name. It's not about the money. It was about making the love of God known. It was about the gift to a brother. This, it's to pay our bills. It's to buy some things you might want and like and maybe save. It's also made to give away. Oh, I knew I should have sat over there. That's what it's for. Why did he give you tongues? As a sign that you have his power. Ooh, I got his power. What's the power for? The power's no good unless you give it away. To preach the gospel and show the love of God. You have been called. You leave this place with a fresh call or a reminder of the call to make his name known.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.